June is National Dairy Month, and the average American eats 23 pounds of cheese each year, according to the National Refrigerated and Frozen Foods Association. I'm Kelly Rodriguez, Editor-in-Chief of Refrigerated and Frozen Foods Magazine, and in honor of June being National Dairy Month, I'm speaking with Sarah Healy, Senior Vice President of Marketing for Cabot Cheese, and Jenny Tilton Flood, a Cabot dairy farmer whose farm cares for 3,400 cows each and every day. Founded in Cabot, Vermont, when 94 family farms formed a cooperative, it has grown to be owned by 800 farms throughout New England and New York. The company believes farms are vital to communities, culture, and landscape, and in 2019 celebrated its centennial. Today, the yogurt, cottage cheese, sour cream, and butter produced by Cabot farmers can be found in stores across the U.S. alongside its award-winning cheeses. Cabot was the first dairy farmer-owned cooperative to achieve B Corp certification, which demonstrates performance, accountability, and transparency on factors from employee benefits and charitable giving to supply chain practices and input materials. The company recently celebrated 10 years as a certified B Corp, and I wondered how that designation guides Cabot's business practices today.
Yeah, we're so proud to be a B Corp. And I think that what that really means is that, you know, we measure ourselves according to the triple bottom line. So we're looking at our financial performance, but we're also looking at our social and environmental performance. And that's, you know, those principles and that sort of measurement is really true to who Cabot is. And I think, you know, as a 100-year-old dairy farmer-owned cooperative, that notion that business can be done in a different way and that it can be used as a force for good is really, it's really at the heart of who we are. It's really sort of part of our DNA. And, you know, Cabot exists to ensure that dairy farming and dairy products continue to enrich our communities, our landscapes, our tables. So purpose is really steeped into Cabot.
And I wonder, Cabot's about 800 farms strong now, is that correct?
Yeah, that's about correct.
I wondered if you could talk a little bit about how Cabot's co-op structure influences its sourcing and production methods.
Yeah, so I think that being a co-op means that, you know, the relationships we have within our co-op and with our outside partners are really built on mutual respect and collaboration. And there's a very kind of deep belief in mutual success, right? And I think that, you know, being a cooperative also means that we have a very roll up your sleeves culture. And this is a company that comes together to get things done. And I think that an example from recent history that most exemplifies that is that, you know, during the most challenging days of the COVID pandemic, when everyone, Cabot included, was really hammered by staffing shortages, et cetera, employees from other areas of the company and our members as well all volunteered to work shifts in our cut and wrap facility to make sure that we could get product out the door. And you know, that went on for months and months of employees like showing up in the wee hours of the morning to work long shifts, often, you know, plugging in later to get what they had to get done for their regular, you know, day jobs. And it really, you know, it was such a positive experience for so many employees. It was such a positive experience for so many members, Jenny included. Jenny was one of the members who was there on the lines with us, making sure that product got out the door and that, you know, we could get Cabot cheese out to our retailers. So as a cooperative, Cabot purchases milk directly from our farmer members. And that milk is brought to one of four manufacturing locations. We have manufacturing facilities in Cabot, Vermont, in Middlebury, Vermont, in West Springfield, Massachusetts, and in Chateauguay, New York. So the milk travels not far really to one of those to the most proximate plant. And then we have, you know, and then our incredibly skilled cheesemakers and producers turn it into Cabot cheese. And I think that what's really special about that is that, you know, we have, because we're a 100-year-old cooperative, and we certainly haven't been making cheese all that time, but there's decades of experience that the Cabot production team has in cheese making, and a lot of really deep knowledge. And I think that one of the things that's also unique about Cabot is that we And this, I think, also comes from being a dairy farmer and cooperative. We have the patience to do things the right way, and we have the patience to do things the kind of like the slow way. So our cheese is naturally aged, and you know, our sharp cheese is, when consumers buy that at the at their local grocer, they're buying 12-month-old cheese that's really been kind of shepherded throughout the aging process. And we have a team of graders who taste every single batch of cheese that's produced. They taste it throughout the aging process so they can make sure that it meets Cabot's quality standards. And that's, it's really special. It takes, producing the quality of product that Cabot produces really does take a village, and it takes decades of experience, and it takes the sort of care and tradition, but also innovation that I think is, we're lucky to have here. You know, we're lucky to have at Cabot.
Absolutely. How does one, I'm just curious, how does one apply to be a cheese taste tester?
Doesn't that sound like one of those magical jobs that doesn't really exist? I know. It's like.
Well, Jenny, this is a question for you. I wondered in your opinion, because you are a member of the co-op, what makes, as a farmer, what makes the co-op method special, and how does it benefit, you know, you as a farmer and also the consumer?
So I love that question because it really gets down to the whole point of being a co-op member owner. That owner part is so important. You know, it's about the care, it's about the community, it's about the concern, it's about the quality, and it's about being empowering the people who own it and who are buying in literally and figuratively to the mission of the co-op that empowers them to make sure it happens. So, and you know, we do empower people within our member owners, but we also hire some of the best people. And, you know, whether it's Sarah spreading the message and driving that message, or it is hiring that person who is going to taste that cheese and make sure that it's true to us, or making sure that we have a director of sustainability who is committed in ways beyond the bottom line, but looking at all those other bottom lines that are so important, whether it's community, whether it's environment, and whether it's financial. So, I mean, I think that's the big thing about being a co-op and being a part of a co-op. And it's powerful too. It really is. We hold shares to each other, as opposed to someone having to answer to a stockholder. We are sharing in this burden together. We are in it, blood, sweat, and tears, and joy, and drops of milk, and we are the boots and Birkenstocks on the ground making it happen.
Jenny, you said that you're the boots and Birkenstocks on the ground. So I was wondering, which one of those do you wear? And could you tell us a little bit about your specific farm?
Okay. So I normally do not wear shoes, but I wear boots when I'm on the farm. My daughter is a Birk lover. And I just like the fact that, you know what, we wear what we need to wear. But when I'm on the line, I wear boots or approved footwear for safety. But our farm is, you know, multi-generational farm. And it's sort of is like the embodiment of dairy farming in general and Cabot farms in general. We have people on our farm and in our farm family that have been doing this for their entire lives, that they are like the sixth generation to do it. And then they have people like me who've married into the family. I'm a first generation farmer, and we have so many first generation farmers in our co-op, and we have women and we have men and we have young people. We have people who have seen a lot of years go by, and we are doing things sometimes the way we used to, and we are thinking of ways to do it that no one's thought of yet. And that's sort of what happens every day on our farm. And we're located right in Maine's dairy capital in Clinton, Maine, alongside the Kennebec, on unceded land that really drives our commitment to making sure that we respect this land that we now possess, and that we have taken away. But we're trying to make sure that we care for it the way that it should be cared for, and that we're still able to put really good food on our neighbor's table, you know, and be a part of the community that we're in. So it was unceded land. So the Wabanaki Nation called this place home before the colonizers came here. And my husband's family actually received deeds to this land. It was never asked for, and it was never paid for. I really like to mention that and make sure I acknowledge that. It doesn't rectify anything, and it doesn't make it better, but it's acknowledgement. And I think that acknowledgement's important.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about farming today? I'm just, or what is sort of the biggest myth or misconception that you hear when you tell people what you do for a living?
So people are generally surprised to find out that I'm a dairy farmer. And that's to be, and that's usually happens when I'm like sitting in my favorite seat on the plane and the person next to me, but that's just reality. Facts are, is we're less than 2% of the population, and 83% of the people who aren't on the farm, they're three generations removed from a farm. Their grandparents didn't even drive by or ride by a farm on the way to school. So, you know, it's, I am an odd duck in a sea of wonderful ducks. But I think a lot of times there's the misconception that a farmer looks, acts, thinks, and does in a certain way. And you know, those misperceptions, they aren't just from the people who are off from farms. They're from the people who are on the farm. They think that every other farm looks like their farm, or someone thinks that the image of a farm that they see on a label or they read about, that's how they all are. And that's a mistake, I think, that is human nature. We see something and we apply it to everything. And I think that people will be very surprised to find the diversity of thought, the diversity of being, and the diversity of people and systems and methods of doing things that happen on the farms. And amongst our Cabot farms, we can find so many different people and so many different ways to tackle taking care of our land and our cows and producing milk.
Sarah, I wondered if you could talk a little bit about, because Jenny's absolutely correct, Cabot farmers do have a variety of sustainability initiatives. Yeah. One of which I thought was very aptly named Cow Power. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about Cow Power.
Yeah, I'd love to. So our farmers have been incredibly innovative and progressive in their adoption of technology. And so Cow Power, in the simplest terms, refers to the conversion of manure into energy using a biodigester. So, you know, what's great about that is that it benefits farms, it benefits local communities, and it benefits utility customers. So it's an example of like a win-win-win. And that's the type of thing we're always looking for. Another really interesting initiative is our membership in the Farm Powered Strategic Alliance. And what that means is, you know, the Farm Powered Strategic Alliance, it allows us to take organics and the kind of food waste that's unavoidable in the manufacturing process and use on-farm biodigesters to convert it into renewable natural gas. And the Farm Powered Strategic Alliance, it's a fantastic partnership that's done through Vanguard Renewables. And there's many retailers and manufacturers that are a part of it. And I hope many more joining on soon.
Jenny, I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about what are some of the sustainable practices that you employ on your farm.
So I love talking about sustainability because as a multi-generational farm, we have three generations right now with 21 family members. And we work with 30 other people here on our farm to care for our cows. And sustainability is something we've kind of had to do. That's why we've been putting milk on neighbors' tables since 1927. But it takes new work every day. So, I mean, we do the tried, tested, and true things of caring for the land by conserving water and finding multiple uses for that water and then managing the nutrients. And that's a nice way and a polite way of saying, you know, we take care of where the poop goes. And because the poop is food for our soil, you know, we're feeding that soil with the cow's manure, and then we're growing food for the cows, and we're feeding the cows good, nutritious food, and they're making that milk, and then they're pooping, and then it all starts over again like a circle of life, you know, cue the music. But also we're finding different and better ways to go ahead and use that manure. And we're actually involved in a digester project here on our farm with Peaks Renewables. And we're going to actually help create with manure from not just our farm, but other farms, including Cabot farmers in this area, to help ensure that we can take advantage of an economy of scale here, but share it with others and create renewable natural gas that is locally created in a circular economy. Instead of energy being an extractive enterprise, it's going to be a circular economy for us. But we also make sure that we like to make sure that we use really good genetics for our cows. They're so efficient. And when you're well fed and well cared for, you can be efficient and healthy and sustainable. And we also make sure that we have buffer seedings, and we're in the middle of two projects right now to plant buffer seedings and also create a vegetative treatment area that will help naturally filter water and keep clean water clean. And, you know, we're really proud of the work we do. I keep looking out the window here, waiting for a couple million bees to head over here. They're going to spend their summer here like they always do in the midst of all our fields, because we have plenty of source of food and habitat for those pollinators. So, I mean, those are just some of the ways that we're able to attack sustainability and keep finding new ways to up our game.
But Sarah, anything else that we didn't talk about?
No, I'll just say that, you know, I think that I think talking to Jenny, I love hearing Jenny talk to you. And I think that, you know, you can tell that our cheese and our dairy products are made with a lot of love, pride, and purpose, right? And that, I think that that's, and it's, so it's the people who work for Cabot, the people who said no to Cabot, there's just an immense amount of pride and purpose. And I think that that really translates to the product and who we are and how we show up in our communities and how we show up on shelf.
I think it's really important, like Sarah was talking about pride and place. And, you know, it's a commitment. I'm so proud as a Cabot farmer when people walk in and make a choice to choose our food. I mean, I talk about us being a food provider of choice. Just as proud as I am that our co-op is an employer of choice. Dennis was showing earlier, you know, that his daughter bought some seriously sharp cheese right in the local store. And that means a lot to me. And I think that a lot of farmers don't understand the commitment it takes to choose a product based on something more than just price. Like, you know, when I'm in New York City and I'm getting on the train, I'm just like, God, I can't imagine the commitment it takes to buy a gallon of milk and a pound and a brick of cheese and schlep it home. And what if you're in a walk-up? I mean, and then you have to decide what goes in the fridge, you know? I mean, I know I have some priorities if there's limited fridge space, but that's the type of I think that's where the farmer gratitude is rooted from, because people make the choice to choose our food. And it's just amazing to us. And so it's important and incumbent upon us to be the best we can wherever we go, so that people feel good about that choice. And I just really felt that was important to mention.
Sarah and Jenny, thank you for joining me today on From the Cold Corner and sharing a little bit about the Cabot story. As always, you can get the latest cold chain news at rffmag.com.